Can I just say it's an absolute honor and a privilege to be here tonight on the first evening of Melkbos PM. Woohoo! Well, it's so exciting, man. I cannot believe it. You know, as I was getting ready, I was praying this morning, and I felt that this is only the beginning. Now, it's not the beginning of a new congregation, but a beginning of more. It's not only going to be Melkbos AM and PM. There's going to be other congregations that are going to be birthed out of this. You must realize that when you left AM, for those of you who have moved across, you've left a vacuum. And that vacuum, it has to be filled. And God's going to add more people. And as you have come over here, there's going to be space for more people. And guess what? God's going to add more people. But he's going to use you to bring them. He will send visitors, yes. And you're going to be all over them like a rash. But he's also going to fill you with a spirit of courage and boldness to go out there and bring people off the beaches into church. And through that, we're going to be jam-packed and we're going to have to plant again. Saturday evening, 7 o'clock service. As Will Maria used to say, why not, eh? So before I kick off with my preach, I just want to say thank you to Dylan, Barrent, Andrew, for the way you guys facilitated the split and the change of the two congregations. I need to honor you guys. I was asked a good few weeks ago just to oversee and facilitate this with the guys. And I must tell you, it's been an absolute dream of a splant. Let's call it a split and a plant. So we call it a splant. These guys have been incredible. The amount of planning and prayer that has gone into getting you guys across here has been amazing. It's been seamless. And for me, just to be part of this has been very exciting. So well done, guys. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, Barrent. Thank you, Andrew. You guys are amazing. Okay. So just imagine waking up tomorrow morning, and one of the very first thoughts that's going to come out of your mind after tonight is, today, I must die. They're all looking at me and said, like, is this guy smoking something? What is he on? How can he say something like, I'm going to die today? You know, does that sound extreme, strange? Well, in our world, you know, we chase life, a longer life, a healthier life, a better life, and everything. But very seldom do we say, I'm going to die. I mean, we avoid death at all costs. I mean, if I go to say to you guys, who wants to die? You're nobody, eh? Like, nobody stuck their hands up. Jeepers, I'll die today. No, come here to die, not tomorrow. No, no. Just imagine. I'll get to this a little bit later on, but you're going to wake up in heaven. Glorious. What's going to be worse than that? Waking up at the feet of Jesus if you die today. But that's not the death I'm talking about, because Paul flips the script entirely. So if you can turn with me in your Bibles, on your phones, or your hard copies if you have one. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in our hearts of those who have refused to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So for many of us who have given our lives to the Lord, we were actually dead. We were living in darkness. We weren't alive. And then we stuck our hands up one day and we committed our lives to the Lord, and he brought us out of darkness into light. He then brought us back into life, real life. And every day that we get up and we say, Lord, today I'm going to die. I'm going to die to self. It's like going through the baptism that you went through when you became a Christian. Is there anybody over here that hasn't been baptized yet? Anybody? Okay, two important things. Firstly, you give your life to the Lord, and the second most important decision in life is to get water baptized. So remember that, keep that in your back pocket. For the people who don't know, baptism's very important. So baptism, when you go into the water, the old is being buried. And when you come up, they hold you longer than 3 minutes. It's unlikely. But if they bring you up earlier, it's a new person that's being brought out. It's a new person that's been made alive in Christ. You have been cleansed. You have been washed clean of all your sins. You're no longer carrying any stains or blemishes on you. Jesus has cleansed you in that death. You were dead because Christ died. Now you live. And because you live, you must keep dying. And in dying, you truly live. Let me say that again. It sounds complex. You were dead because Christ died. You now live. Because you live, you must keep dying. And in dying, you'll truly live. Amen. Yeah, yeah. So, before Jesus, we weren't just struggling, we were spiritually dead. Spiritually, we were living in a world of darkness. We didn't know if we were coming or we were going. We were living for the lusts and pleasures of life. We were chasing fame, fortune, and everything, as Solomon said, is meaningless. But we were chasing it anyway. Because we thought, this is what makes a man or a person. But it's not that. But in Colossians chapter 1, and most of the scriptures today will be out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son." How awesome is that scripture? He has transferred us. He has taken us from a kingdom of darkness and put us into a kingdom of light. We no longer walk in darkness. But the temptation's always there to fall back into this. The old life, it looked alive, but believe me, and I think all of you will acknowledge, it was very, very empty. God didn't leave us there. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. "When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised into the new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." That's amazing, you know, that when you are filled with the Spirit, the same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is within you. So when you die, you're going to be raised by that same Spirit. It's amazing. "You were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." That, in a nutshell, that last few words, is in fact the good news, the gospel of the good news. We were sinners. Jesus came down to earth. He took all our sins. He paid the penalty of death. He died on the cross. He was buried and resurrected after 3 days. Why? So that you and I could live and have life in eternity with him. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believed in him." It's in Romans 8, chapter 3 to chapter 8, verses 3 to 11. You don't have to put that up. "God sent his son to do what the law couldn't." So a lot of people wanted to live by the law, and the law has virtually been abolished because Jesus came to fulfill that law. "He condemned sin in the flesh so that we might live by the Spirit." Church, friends, family, because Christ died, we now live. We now live because he died. Not for any other reason. Your real life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. That's our hope. That's our identity. I no longer live, but it's Christ in me that lives. But the resurrected life doesn't mean death is over. No. Paul warns us in Colossians. Some in the church of Colossae, they were drifting back to the old ways. And just like you and me, we want to drift. Andrew just put out with Mike Davies how the church drifts. And believe me, we drift as well. It's our sinful nature. It's our flesh which causes us to drift and forget about the things and the way of the Lord, because it's just so easy. It's in our nature. It's in our hearts, inherent in terms of who we are. And Paul warns us, we are drifting back to our old patterns. And so he commands us to put them to death, actively put them to death. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, he says this: since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. Just think about that. How much thought have you been given, or have you been giving, to things in eternity, as opposed to thinking about what's for dinner later on, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen this week? You know, we think about those things. Oh, my bank balance, my job, whatever the case is. But how much time and attention are we actually thinking about eternity? A wonderful, glorious place where you and I are going to be one day. He goes on in verse 5 to say this: so put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. Now remember, an idolater is anything that replaces your devotion to God and worshiping the things of the world. And in verses 8 and 9, he goes on and he says, get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, and lying. It's so easy for each one of us to fall into one of those things. And in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, 19 to 21, says this: when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, that's you and me, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. And here's one we should take note of. We church people, we're all good Christians, and we all live, you know, above the line, above board. It says this: quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness. Okay, we don't do the wild parties and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So think about this. So the person next to you irritates you. It could be your spouse. It could be your friend. It could be your child. And you'll end up quarreling. What's a big deal in God's eyes? Because he classifies it as one of these sinful things inside of us that needs to be put to death. And how many of us, if we've had a quarrel, are quick to repent, quick to apologize, quick to forgive, and to move forward in unity? What do we say? Look, I can never forgive that person. The person has offended me, I can't forgive them. So I'll just move on. And you have this little crack or blemish in your heart as a result of it. You say, why so serious, Kim? Because shrugging at sin is like laying down the very life, the new life that God gave you. It's like wandering back towards destruction. It's a slippery slope going down. It's from going from a place of being in light into a place of dark. And God says, no. Paul says, be careful of this. So we haven't fully appeared with him in glory. Whilst we're going from glory to glory, we haven't fully appeared with him in glory. One day when we're standing in front of him, we'll be fully in glory with him. We'll be in our new glorious bodies, and we'll reflect his glory. And my glorious body is going to be tall, dark, and handsome, just like Dylan. Not short looking up at everybody. You see, it's an ongoing process. And that's where that little symbol at the bottom of our screens, dying to live, actually comes from. We've got to die to live every single day. Every single morning you need to get up and say, today I'm going to die. I'm going to die to these things that Paul has pointed out. I can no longer afford to carry these things on me. It's like necrosis or gangrene. If you leave it, it's going to true way to your body, and eventually your body, that area will lose all sensitivity, and it's going to get damaged, it's going to fall off, whatever the case is. And the doctor's got to treat it. Now, we all know MZ Sally, she had a bit of gangrene in her one toe, and they had to chop half of her foot off so that it didn't spread any further. So Ems walks around with like a half a foot. Am I right? Your big toe. She lost her big toe. But you know, unless it was cut off, she could, if she left it, she would have died. She would have died. And so the doctor's advice was, look, sorry, we're going to have to cut this big toe off. It must have been shocking. Did she get it in a bottle, in a jar? You see, she didn't want it. She rejected it because that belonged to the old, not the new self. She wanted the new self. So God, give me a new big toe. So how would you do this? Do you know this daily death that I'm talking, this daily dying isn't a grim affair. It's not like you get up every morning and say, oh no, I'm going to die today. Give me a knife. I'm going to slash my wrist. No, it's not that. It's a good thing. So how do we do it? This is the path to the real life, which we've been called to as Christians. Paul gives us a couple of things. He says, firstly, you need to think about the things of heaven. Think about the crucifixion of God. So he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, seek the things above. Set your mind on the things above. As I said early on, how much time do we actually reflect on what heaven is going to look like? How often do we set our minds on the hope that's set before us, him that died on the cross, him that was crucified, him now sitting on the throne in heaven, in all his glory, in all his beauty. And we stand there and we think about him. We spend time with him in the word. We worship him. And I mean, the worship tonight was wonderful. I just want to thank the worship team. Amazing. But the more time we spend with him, that veil has been removed from us, the more we're going to reflect the glory of who he is in our daily lives. Without spending that time with him, without the contemplation, without the thinking about him, it's not going to happen. We need to spend time in his word. We need to spend time with him. We need to spend time worshiping him. We need to spend time beholding him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Now, you could look to the person on your left and you could say, like, I can't see Christ in you. I can't see you changing to look more like Jesus. But actually, it's an inside thing that God's doing in you. And a lot of us will be able to reflect it in our... Are you looking for the glory in her? Did you find it? It's a thing that takes place, you know, and you could see when somebody has spent, you know, a good amount of time with the Lord. You know, sometimes we come into worship and you can see the guys didn't practice during the week. They didn't spend time with the Lord and they really struggle to get worship going and they struggle to bring the congregation into the throne room of where God is. And it's like really flat and everything. But like tonight, or this afternoon when these guys led worship, you could see they spent time with the Lord. Immediately, as they started worshiping, we found ourselves in the presence of the Lord. The next thing is we need to crucify our corrupt flesh daily. Put to death the earthly things. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll spotlight those lurking sins inside of you. Immorality, greed, anger, lies. And in that moment, as I said early on, confess, repent, and walk in the Spirit, putting on the new self, which is compassion, kindness, humility, forgiveness, and love. You've got to put those things on. Back to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. And as I was preparing this, is a scripture that jumped out for you guys. I'll highlight it to you. Since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Malchus PM, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, delineate this as well. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Remember, where there's unity or harmony, God commands a blessing. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. So you can turn to the person to your left and right and say, peace, brother. No, I'm joking. Always be thankful. You know, I've listened to some people praying on their knees, and it's, God, I want, God, I need, God, can you do this, God, can you change that? And all noble and good stuff. But seldom do you hear, God, I just want to thank you for my life today. God, can I thank you that you saved me? God, can I thank you that you've taken me out of a place of darkness into a place of light? God, just thank you for my family. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your finances, your provision. Thank you for this home. Thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Thank you, Father. And as ugly as cutting away sin-filled, it's healing. And that's painful. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Ask yourself right now. If we are to truly live, we've got to die daily. But ask yourself this. What earthly things are lurking in me today? What are those things? Greed, lust, anger, bitterness, jealousy, grumbling. Now, I know you guys wouldn't have grumbled coming here tonight. You came here with our hearts which are open, enthusiastic, and say, yes, we're launching a new congregation. This is going to be awesome. But in 3 months' time, oh, we should never have gone to PM. Byron's far better than Dylan. Amen. Can you see a little thing like that? It's a grumbling. And that needs to be cut off. Needs to be slashed away, straight away. Lord, forgive me, man. I don't want to go down that path. I want to stay in a space where it's light. I don't want to go down that slippery slope into darkness. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of thinking that way. Jeez, I'm not going to grumble anymore. You know what happened to the Israelites when they grumbled, eh? God caused a massive earthquake and 20,000 Jews fell down the hole. And I'm going to ask you this in ending, and you all love Psalm 139. All know Psalm 139? It's a beautiful psalm. It's like everybody's favorite, certainly my favorite. God knows me. He knows me intimately. He watched me grow up in my mother's womb. He loved me so much. He loved me more than all the grains of sand on this earth. It's incredible, that psalm. But then right at the end, David says this in Psalm 139, verse 24. The very last thing he writes. He says this to God. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Point out, God, anything in me that offends you. When last did you ask that question to God? So I want to ask you to ask him that question right now. Lord, is there anything in me that offends you? We're not living perfect lives. He doesn't want us to live perfect lives. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our counselor. But he will also highlight when there are, when there's stuff in us that is not of the Lord. So listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Word, it talks about having a seared conscience. And, you know, when you sear something, it's like you're taking a nice piece of steak and you put it on a hot grill or fire. You seal it so that the juices don't run out of it. And it's nice and juicy thereafter. But he says we can have a seared conscience as well. So what happens is we will do something. We will sin. And that first time we sin in that way, whatever it is, let's say I look at porn, and it'll feel like a mule kicked me in my gut. Oh, that was sore. I shouldn't have never have done that. And I feel guilty for a few days. But then I go back, and it's no longer a kick in the stomach by a mule, and it feels like a pinch on the arm. And then I go back the third time, and there's no feeling. I've got a seared conscience. And that's when I've grieved the Holy Spirit. Think about him first thing. Wake up and say tomorrow, today, I must die. Die to sin, to self, and to live for Christ. And because you live in Christ, keep dying. And in dying, you will truly live abundantly, eternally, and joyfully. Just remember this as I end. Jesus doesn't improve your life. He ends it, and he gives you a new life. He ends your life, and he gives you a new life. But now he wants you to walk in that path. Be open to God. Be quick to repent. Quick to ask for forgiveness. Walk a walk of accountability with one another. And just go back to those things that I highlighted earlier on, those sins. So I just want to, two things. If you have felt a pricking of the Holy Spirit or cutting in your heart or challenge in your heart, or you know that there's something inside of you that you just want to bring to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, I don't want to grieve you. I love you. I want to stay and live my life in you, in the light. But I've messed up, and I need to repent. I need to ask for forgiveness. If that's you, just stand up. I'd love to pray with you. Don't be embarrassed. Say, Lord, just convict me if there's anything that is not of you in my heart. Is there anything? There's a couple of people standing up. I just want to say well done. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to touch you and to work inside of your heart. And Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you will touch them, heal them by your blood. Let the Holy Spirit move and bring about an absolute cleansing of the things which they have presented and laid down before you. Lord, I can't repent on behalf of them, and I trust that they will repent to you of the things which they have stood up for. But I do know this, Lord, that you are quick to forgive. You paid the ultimate price on the cross for these people that are standing up so that they could walk in freedom, so that they can walk in light. We thank you for the ultimate price that you paid on the cross for us. We thank you for your blood that cleanses us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know most of you guys are saved, people that have committed their lives to the Lord. I think there's only one visitor here. But for all of us, you know, I mentioned it earlier on that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will go and spend eternity with him. And some of us haven't made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Remember what I said, two things that you need to do in life. Commit your life to the Lord. He came, he died for us so that we could live, so we could live in eternity with him. Second thing is get baptized. But some of us accepted Jesus, but we've drifted away from him. And this all sounds like blah, 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 blah. You're like, now really? Can you get on with this now? But I'd like to ask you this. Can you get on with Jesus? Can you come back to him? Can you say, listen, I've taken a few steps down that slippery slope, and I just want to recommit my life to the Lord right now. Just close your eyes, and if that's you, I'd just like you to raise your hand so we could pray for you. If you haven't made a commitment to the Lord, raise your hand. If you feel that you have drifted away from the Lord, just raise your hand. God is quick to forgive, and he wants you back in his kingdom. He wants to walk alongside you. He wants you. He's not worried about the person to your left and right. He's speaking to you. He's touching your heart right now, if that's you. If it is you, just raise your hand so we can pray for you. Thank you, young man. Father, I thank you for this young man that stuck his hand up. And I thank you, Lord, that you will take him back. You will embrace him. You will hold him. You will love him. You will say, you are my son. You are a year. You have a place in my kingdom. So we thank you for him, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will bless him and draw him back into the kingdom, that he will be loved not only by you, but the many people that walk with him, from his parents to his friends to his siblings. Walk with him in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Dylan, thank you.